In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today is the last day of the St. Mary's Revival, Kolosenon to Tayyibin, and we've gone through all of the commandments of the Ten Commandments. The commandment that's left that we haven't done is the third commandment, which is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so the idea that God is saying that we should treat his name with a special kind of reverence, that it's a consecrated name. It's not a name that we use lightly or use it for different reasons other than actually worshiping God. And the importance of a name is something that's very clear in the scripture. Actually, in the scripture, many people were given names based on kind of prophetically about what is it that is going to happen to them in their life, the role that God is calling them for. How is it that they are going to be a servant to God? And those speaking about God specifically in Psalm 9, it says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. So the name represents the person. Whenever you read about a name, it's like a representation of God himself. It's not just a label, but it expresses the identity of God. And so we treat the name of God as God. We treat the name of God with reverence. The name of God is honored. And actually, the Jews in the Old Testament and even till today, they take this command to honor the name of God very, very seriously. The Lord actually revealed his name to Moses when he was speaking to him in the burning bush. It says in Exodus chapter 3, and it says, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. He revealed this as his name, that this is the name of God. This Hebrew word for I am, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, but it's Eyeh, which means I exist. Okay, this idea is I exist. And so this name was taken and changed to be in the third person form, which means that God exists or he exists. And it was changed to these four letters, YHWH, which we pronounce it as Yahweh. If you've ever heard of the name Yahweh, Yahweh comes from these four letters, which is the English version of the Hebrew word for the name of God. And this is the name of God, again, that God himself said about himself. These four letters actually has a name. It's called the Tetragrammaton. Tetra means four. Tetragrammaton means the four letters. Okay? So the Jews, they take this name of God very seriously, and they are not willing even to say this name. I mean, we say the name of God. They were not willing to say the name of God. They're not willing to say this name Yahweh or to even spell it out completely. In English, if a Jewish person is speaking about God, he does not write the full name of God. He writes G-D, not spelling it out completely, the name of God. So in ancient Hebrew writing, there was no vowels. So whenever the prophets, whenever the Old Testament scribes, whenever they would write any kind of writing, they would write it without any vowels to keep it condensed and take up less space. And so this four letters was written in this way without any vowels. And so there was a great reverence to this name. So when people were actually speaking the name of God, they gave a new name to God called Adonai. Adonai is a word that means Lord. In the Old Testament, it means Lord, or sometimes they would use the word Hashem, which means the name. And they would use this name, Adonai, instead of the name of God himself. In the English Bible today, whenever you see the word Lord spelled out in all capital letters, L-O-R-D, all in capital letters, this is actually originally in Hebrew the name Yahweh, right? And it's not written as Yahweh, but this is the way that it's translated in English. Even in Christianity, coming from the Greek Septuagint, they translated this name, Yahweh, they translated as Kyrios. Kyrios means Lord in Greek, and this is the name that you'll find in the New Testament in many of the writings referring to God in this way. So one thing that's also interesting about this is we're also familiar with the name Jehovah. Okay, how did the name Jehovah, how did we get this name? So when the Hebrew writers were writing the name of God, they wrote it Yahweh, the four letters, YHWH. But whenever, in the Middle Ages, whenever there was a group of Jews called the Masoretes, they came to kind of revitalize and reform the Jewish scripture. And so they looked at the Jewish manuscripts, and they found that this name of God was written with these four letters, not written out completely. And under the name was written the vowels of the name Adonai. Why was this? Because this was a note to the person reading the scripture that once you get to this word Yahweh, you do not say Yahweh, you say Adonai. So they wrote the vowels of the word Adonai underneath the word Yahweh, the four letters of Yahweh, as a note to the reader to remind him, when you get to this word, just remember to say Adonai instead of saying Yahweh. What happened in the Middle Ages is the translators saw these vowels and they thought that it was part of the name. So they took the letters of Yahweh and they took the vowels of Adonai and they combined them together, and then you get the name Jehovah, right? So the name Jehovah that we use, the name, we've heard the name of Jehovah, this was a name that was actually a result of a mistake. It was taking the consonants of Yahweh and the vowels of Adonai and combining together. I just thought this was interesting when I learned about this. So how is the name of the Lord special? Right, because we're speaking God. If God says we should not take his name in vain, that means that we should use his name with reverence and not just say it casually. How is the name of the Lord special? First, the scriptures tell us that the name of the Lord is majestic. In Psalm 8, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Meaning the name of God even is above the earth, right? This is why we should be very careful with the name of God. This is why actually we don't even name our children this, like we don't name our children Jesus, for instance, right? In the Coptic Church, we don't do that. We take it very seriously that this name is special to God and it is an exalted name. It is a glorious name. It is a name that is above even the heavens. Also, there are wonders that are performed in the name. In Acts 3, verse 6, it says, then Peter said, this is speaking to the lame man, he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In which way was this miracle done? It was done in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name. And even the Lord, when he said, whatever it is you ask in my name, right, that God will give you. The idea of the name is a representation of God himself. Here, when he says, I am doing this miracle in the name of God, it is like God is the one doing the miracle, right, through the words of the apostle. Also, his name frightens the demons. In Luke 10, it says, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The apostles, when they would go preaching and they would find those people who are demon-possessed, just uttering the name of Jesus would cause the demons to depart. So again, there is power in the name. It is not just something to be said casually. We depend on the name of the Lord. In Psalm 118, it says, all nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Right? In what way do we destroy those people who surround us? They are enemies. Again, with the name of the Lord. When we call upon the name of the Lord's name is a protection for us, is a refuge for us, is something that we turn to remember the power of God in our lives. Also, we receive the sacraments in the name of the Lord. In Matthew 28, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Even Christ, when he told the apostles to go and to preach and to make disciples and to baptize, he said, this baptism is done in the name of the Holy Trinity, right? As a mark that these people who are being baptized into Christ, are being baptized into the Trinity, into God's name. And actually in the church, if you read in the liturgical prayers, everything we do is in the name of the Trinity. And so many of the prayers, at the end of the prayer, there's a silent prayer that the priest says, you know, through the grace, compassion, love of mankind, of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and speaking about all of the Trinity. So everything we do is in the name of the Trinity. Every prayer we pray in the church is in the name of the Trinity. It's a constant reminder that who is it that we are worshiping and that these words are not in vain. We are not speaking these words just to hear ourselves talk. We are praying in the name of God. Salvation also comes through the name of the Lord. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So even the name of God is present and effective for the work of salvation itself. That when a person is baptized, they're baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity. And the name of Christ is effective for salvation. When we call upon the Lord, we call upon his name. We are saying, we are calling upon him using his name. We are speaking to him personally, as one person speaks to another. So in so many ways, the name of the Lord is special, okay? What are some ways that we actually take the name of the Lord in vain? And this is where we have to look at ourselves and say, am I living my life subject to the commandments of God? Is my speech subject to the commandments of God? How is it that God has told us to speak about him and to take his name and consider his name and honor his name compared to what is it that maybe that I do? The first way that we take the name of the Lord in vain is through blasphemy. And here by blasphemy, I mean attributing evil to God or mocking his holiness, right? The Pharisees, they did this. When they saw the Lord Jesus Christ was casting out demons, they said, oh, you are casting out demons by the power of the demons. Why was this blasphemy to say this? Because they are attributing evil to God. They are attributing evil to the name of God. In Mark 3:29, it says, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. We should not take the name of the Lord lightly, and definitely when we use the name of God, we shouldn't be using it in a way that is like the opposite of God. How many times do people use the name of God in cursing? And this is no coincidence. Actually, this is evidence of Satan's work and influence in the world. That he says what? You will take the name of God, but instead of using it in a holy way, instead of using it in a way that promotes righteousness, reminding people of God's presence, reminding people of their salvation, reminding people of God's mercy through the name of God, no, you're going to take the name of God and use it as a curse, as something vile and defiled to say. This is a blasphemy, okay? And actually, St. Paul, when he spoke to the Romans, he said, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. What is he saying? He's saying those people who are supposedly Christians, but living contrary to their Christianity, those who are labeled as Christians, when someone is labeled as a Christian, means you are carrying the name of God on you, that you are an ambassador of Christ. You are someone who represents God, and the name of God is on you. When I say I am a Christian, I'm saying I'm taking the name of God and I'm attributing it to myself. This is a very serious thing to say. When if someone says, I am a Christian, and now everything that I do and everything that I say is a representation of Christ. And so here, what St. Paul was saying is, when you who are a Christian, who call yourself a Christian, who have the name of God on you, live in the world contrary to Christ, contrary to the commandments of God, right? Then what is going to happen is the name of God will be blasphemed, because people will say, look at this person. They say they're a Christian, but they live their life in a way contrary to Christianity. They steal, they lie, they cheat, they curse, they do all these things, right? And so I will curse the God of this person. I do not respect or honor the God of this person. A famous example of this was Gandhi. Gandhi, when he said, you know, I love your Christ, but I hate the Christians. You know, the Christians are not like your Christ, right? This is the same thing he was saying here, is the name of God is blasphemed. When people criticize Christianity, what is it that they are criticizing? Are they criticizing Jesus himself, whom they can read about in the Bible? Or are they criticizing the actions of Christians that they have seen? And so in this way, they are blaspheming the name of God because of the poor actions of us. And as I mentioned, also cursing, using God's name in anger or profanity or out of anger. Again, we are defiling God's name. We are bringing God's name from heaven down to the earth and trampling on it when we use it in a way that God did not intend. So this is the first way we take the name of the Lord in vain, is through blasphemy. Those are the first three. The fourth one is swearing. Swearing is what? Is I make a promise, and I say that the guarantor of my promise, the one who is going to guarantee that I fulfill my promise, is God himself, right? And this was actually against God's commandments in the Old Testament. He says in Leviticus 19, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord, okay? Why is it that God would tell people not to swear, okay? Because swearing, right, meaning I make a promise and I say, I swear to God that I will fulfill this vow. What does it mean when I say this? It means that I am so sure that I will fulfill the vow, then you can place the name of God as almost like a collateral that I will fulfill the vow. Meaning if I do not fulfill the vow, then God's name be cursed, right? This is how strongly I feel that I am going to fulfill the vow. I want you to really, really believe that I'm going to fulfill the vow. So I will say, I swear in the name of God, okay? Meaning, like just as God is perfect, just as God is good, just as God would never lie, so also I am not lying. So what we are doing is we are saying that my level of holiness, my level of righteousness, my level of trustworthiness is now equated with God's level of trustworthiness. And this is what makes it wrong. We are taking ourselves who are limited, who are weak, who maybe, even if I have good intention to fulfill the vow, maybe I don't. Maybe in the end I'm unable to fulfill the vow. Maybe my vow is unrealistic. Maybe I changed my mind. Maybe something happened out of my control, caused me not to be able to fulfill the vow. So how can I say in the end, if I do not fulfill this vow, then may God's name be cursed? Right? This is essentially what we are saying. So this is why the idea with swearing was completely banned. God did not allow this. And even in the New Testament, when the apostle said, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Why? Because for the same reason, if we are trustworthy as Christians, if we again are calling ourselves by the name of God, then I should have the characteristics of God. If God never had to say, I promise, you know, God never had to say, I really promise this time. No, anything that comes out of the mouth of God, we know for sure is trustworthy. We know that there is no defect in it. We know that God for sure will surely fulfill it. So also as Christians, as the believers, as the followers of Christ, we also should be the same. Then whatever you say, just let your yes be yes. If you say yes, you don't have to say, I promise, I cross my heart, nothing. There is nothing to be added to simply saying yes. And same thing was with no. You know, and this is interesting because we focus a lot on the yes. You know, like we focus on, okay, don't say I promise, just say yes. If I say yes, I am going to do it. But what about no? Sometimes we say no, but then after persuasion, after pressure, after being influenced, after being criticized, after being annoyed, you know, maybe parents experience this with their children all the time. Like you tell your child, no, you can't do this, but they come and they start complaining until eventually we say, okay, fine, just do it. What we are doing there as well is we are saying that our word is not consistent. Our word does not stand. The people around me know that if I say no, I don't really mean no. Maybe all it takes is a little bit of persuasion, a little bit of annoyance, a little bit of influence, a little bit of whatever time, and I'll eventually change my mind and I will say yes. This also is actually against God, because you never see this with God. You see, when God says something will be, it will be, right? So we have to be also careful with this. The fifth point here is hypocrisy. This is another tight way that we take the name of the Lord in vain. Hypocrisy is claiming God's name but living contrary to his commandments. Okay, claiming God's name but living contrary to his commandments. In Isaiah 29:13, it says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Okay, so he's saying that the people, his people, they're constantly honoring God with their lips. They are singing praises to God, they are praying to God, they are offering sacrifices even to God. But when you go see their actions in the real world, right, it has nothing to do with this. We come to the church, we sing the praises, we come every day to the revival, but then how do I behave in my home? How do I behave in my work? How do I behave in my school? These are all the signs, these are all the measures of if I'm living a hypocritical life or not. It is different than weakness. A weak person might try and struggle to live according to the commandments of God, but they struggle to do so because of their weakness, because they have, they're not strong enough to do so. They're overwhelmed with temptation, for instance, and they fall. But then they come and they repent and they try again. This is weakness. Hypocrisy is not even trying to live according to God's commandment, but just wanting to appear righteous. And this was the situation with the Pharisees. The Pharisees wanted to appear righteous in front of all of the people and all they cared about. And Christ rebuked them and said that they are whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs meaning from the outside they look beautiful, they look clean. But from the inside they are full of dead man's bones, right? And every defiled thing. So if we look inside of ourselves, what do we find? Do we find wickedness? Do we find defilement? Do we find evil? But I don't let the people around me see that. I let the people around me only see, oh, I am good. I'm doing the right thing, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm going to church, and I'm serving and doing this. But inside of me, I have many secrets, right? And again, maybe areas of my life that I'm not trying to resolve. I'm not trying to correct. I'm just keeping this for myself. This is the idea of hypocrisy, and this is also taking the name of the Lord in vain, because we are claiming His name, but we are not living according to His commandments. Foolish oaths is another type of taking the name of the Lord in vain. In 1 Samuel 14, it says, "And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies, so none of the people tasted food.'" Here, Saul was in a war trying to defeat his enemies. And so to motivate his men, he said, no one is going to eat or drink until we defeat our enemies. And he considered this to be a motivation to them. But what happened is the men were exhausted and tired and hungry, and they couldn't eat, right? And so in the end, his son, Jonathan, decided to eat. And Saul said, "You broke the oath, so you have to be put to death." It was a foolish oath. It was something foolish that he would say, that everyone has to, you know, not eat as until they defeat their enemies. And this is also a way of taking the name of the Lord in vain, because it is making a demand and a promise for something that we should not keep. Another example of this is Jephthah. Jephthah, one of the judges of Israel, he also wanted the Lord to grant him victory over his enemies. And so foolishly he said to the Lord, "God, I will sacrifice to you the first thing that enters into my house if you would grant me victory over my enemies," thinking that he was offering to God some kind of noble sacrifice, right? That he is offering to God something pure and good. But it was a very foolish oath. The first thing that came into his house was his daughter, and he ended up sacrificing his daughter. This was not something pleasing to God. It wasn't pleasing to God that someone would do this, right? It was a foolish oath. We have to be careful. Again, we say, when we make an oath to God, is the oath realistic? Sometimes we want something so badly that we make an oath that we cannot keep. Tell God, "If you grant me a child, I'm going to give all of my money to the poor." Can you really give all your money to the poor? Actually, when you have a child, you're going to need a lot of money. So maybe that's unrealistic. Okay, maybe you give some money to the poor, you know? And because the worst thing is to make an oath and then we don't follow through with the oath. If we make a vow to God, it's something very important. If we make a vow, tell God, "I will do." We call it nedr. If we make a nedr and we make a vow to God, say, "God, if you grant me something, this is what I will do in return." We have to follow through. We have to be wise and discerning in what is it that we make a promise to God that we are going to do. What are some consequences of taking the name of the Lord in vain? One is, according to the prophet Zechariah, we will receive a curse. He said, "I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name." So God took this very seriously. This wasn't something that was easily forgotten. He says, if someone swears falsely by my name, he will receive a curse. Also, in Leviticus 24, it says he will be put to death. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. In the Old Testament, things were taken a lot more seriously than we take them today. The idea of holiness, the idea of righteousness, was taken very seriously. You know what the consequence was for when a child disobeyed their parents in the Old Testament? They would be stoned. Stoned. Now, you know, if our children, just kind of are okay, you know, and are not cursing us, and are not, you know, stealing from us, and are showing any kind of respect from us, we're like, okay, this is good. And we give them a lot of patience and tolerance. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying this is the society we live in now. We have very, very low expectations of our children today, right? In the Old Testament, children were raised that if they disobeyed their parents, they could be stoned, right? So think about how much more seriously they took the idea of God's commandment. When God said, "You shall not work on the Sabbath," and they found a man who was gathering sticks on the Sabbath, God said this man should be stoned. Again, took it very seriously. He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. So sometimes we downplay the importance of fulfilling God's commandment, especially in our society that has become very lukewarm and very loose in following rules in general. Like, even rules from society. Like, we take rules very casually. They're optional. They're suggestions. Right? We don't take them seriously. We consider ourselves to be above the rules. Or we consider ourselves, as long as I'm following the spirit of the rule, then the fact that I don't follow the rule is okay. You know, like, I can speed as long as I don't kill anyone. You know, I don't have to pay all my taxes as long as the government has enough money. You know, there's many excuses that we make for ourselves. And this idea of taking the Lord's name in vain, to many people, it's like it has no consequence. Like, what's going to happen? Nothing. We just speak a certain way. We say certain things. We don't even think about it, right? But here, the Lord is saying very specifically, there are consequences. Maybe we don't taste those consequences immediately. And maybe we don't know that those consequences are related to the way that we are speaking about God's name. But God is making it very clear that He does not take lightly the idea of taking His name in vain. How is it then we can honor the name of the Lord? The first is in prayer, right? Reverence and awe in all the services and the hymns. Why is it that we should be serious when we come to the church, when we stand at the liturgy, when we offer our prayer or our personal prayers at home, that these words should be words of worship and love to God? Again, not taken casually, not taken just as something that I have to finish, but something that I really contemplate and think about. The very first words of the prayer, when the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray, as St. John taught his disciples to pray. And the Lord himself, out of his own mouth, when he said, here are the words that you should pray, he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Like, that was the first thing that he said. How is it we should be speaking about God and his name? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is hallowed. Right? It's holy that when people hear your name, like, they should, like, the sinners should shudder and the believers should praise. Like, it should be something that when we hear the name of God, it causes everyone to be silent, causes everyone to meditate and contemplate and think about their life and thinking about their decisions. So that's the first way, is in prayer. The second is in our speech, avoiding profanity, avoiding casual references to God or joking about holy things. In Colossians 3:17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Right? We are doing everything in the name of Christ, and our speech should be blessed in the name of Christ. Also, finally, in oaths and promises, being truthful without needing to swear. Just develop a reputation from the people around you, that whenever you say you will do something, you will for sure do it. You will for sure follow through with it. You're not going to tell people you do something and then it isn't done. And then you will never need to promise. You will never need to swear. You will never need to say anything beyond just yes. Yes, I will do it. Again, in James 5:12, it says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. This is the commandment. This is the commandment of God. So, without taking a lot of time, just the idea and this third commandment and how important it is among all the commandments, God told us to take His name seriously and that His name is a representation of Him, and that when we invoke His name, we are invoking Him. We are bringing Him into our minds. We are bringing Him into our lives, and God is calling us to hallow His name and to be respectful and honoring Him, and not to give an occasion for others to blaspheme the name of God because of our casual use of His name, or because we are not living according to the commandments. May God help us and grant us the ability to be always faithful to Him in our speech, and glory be to God forever. Amen.